Hello and welcome to the Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, where we explore the culinary arts in and around the greater Lehigh Valley. I'm Mike Drabenstadt, your host for our culinary tour of the region and its amazing food scene. I'm here with Sam Landis from Vinecrest Vineyard and Winery in the western part of Lehigh County. Sam, welcome to the Inside Dish.
Pleasure. Thank you.
I understand that Vinecrest is the oldest existing vineyard in Lehigh County, going back 50 vines that were planted back in 1974.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat story. My parents moved here. They lived here. They went to Moravian College, and they got an idea, crazy idea, to plant grapes on a 5-acre homestead that we had they purchased in 1973. And my father was a chemical engineer, worked at Air Products. My mother was an editor for Rodale. And they had a kind of didn't know what to do with the land. And they thought about Christmas trees and everything else. And it kind of made sense with my dad's chemical background with the wine. And my mom was actually editing a book called How to Homestead for Rodale. And one of the things in there was planting grapes. And so 40-some years later, they were put in the ground, 50 acres, 50 plants originally. Now we're up to over 25 acres.
Wow. And on that same property that your family's owned, or have you actually expanded the property as well?
We bought an additional 40 acres in 2008. So we have a total on the property, 80 acres, and 25 of that's in grapevines.
And this is, your property's around, I'm going to say, 2 miles west of Route 100 or so?
Yeah, it's been nice for us. We're very lucky enough that 80% of our sales can be done through our tasting room. So location is key. We're right off I-78, Route 22. People from Kutztown could come right up through 222, the Turnpike. So, it's kind of a treat that we're a hidden gem of green space in a high development area that's really accessible by a lot of people that can come through our doors.
Now, were those original vines still producing grapes?
They would have still been. We kind of, when you get bigger, your rows need to get longer and orientations change, so you're not just doing a bunch of turns out there on a tractor. So we still have some grapevines from, I would say, the 80s, early 90s that are still producing for us. So some grapevines, in Australia and things of that are 100, 120 years old. So it's really a pretty viable long-term plant that, opposed to orchards and things like that, that probably don't have the sustainability. Grapevines are pretty resilient.
Does the character of the grape change over time? I know with Zinfandels, pretty much all of them try to say old vine anymore.
Right.
I don't know if that's a marketing gimmick or a selling point, or
probably a little of both.
Right.
usually, you don't get your full character of that grape maybe till the 8 to 10 year range. And I think it's just more development of the plant. The deeper the root stocks go into the ground, and just hit or miss as well with growing the grape. Certain grapes have certain crop loads that you want to take advantage of. Some like more sun, some like less sun. So it's a lot of trial and error in the vineyard to really hone in on what grapes to grow and then how to grow those grapes once they're in the ground.
Well, let's talk about your wines at Vinecrest. Tell me a little bit more about the types of wines you produce, both reds and whites and other wines you might have.
Yeah, I think we like to sell the point that you come out to our vineyard and you can try something that's been grown, produced, and bottled right there on site. And with much, other industries now, buy fresh, buy local, people
farm to table.
Farm to table. And you're going to try something uniquely made on this property, picked here, crushed here, fermented here, bottled here. So I think that's a nice thing for people to come out, whether they're tourists or whether they live next door. I think you look at my parents moved into that house. There was, I think, about 5,000 people in Upper and Lower Macungie within 5 miles of the property, and now there's, I think, over 50,000.
Changed quite a bit
so
over there.
It has changed around us. But in terms of the wines, we like to say we can provide we have about 25 different wines, and we really think we can find something for every wine palate alike, dry, sweet, semi-sweet, red, white. I think a couple we're known for are Traminette and Lemberger. Traminette's a off-dry white wine, similar to a Gewürztraminer. And Lemberger is a dry red wine, originally from Austria, that we produce. And I think what's nice about those is you're not going to find a lot of those in the state store, in a supermarket, in a wine store. So it's something unique that we have that not a lot of other people grow and produce.
I imagine with things that wines that people might be unfamiliar with, that there's a chance to be maybe a little bit more adventurous than if you went to a more typical winery out west or maybe upstate New York.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we're very lucky in the fact that we get a chance to educate our consumer on site right where they're making their purchases. You know, and there's a learning curve for that as well. Wegmans, a great partner of ours, just started carrying our wines in October. And one of the things we had to consider is the fact that it was the first time our wine was being sold anywhere outside of our tasting room. And so there's a little different learning curve in terms of something on a shelf without the basically a chance to inform the consumer and educate versus something that, you know, we can explain Lemberger, why we picked to grow it here, because it's a cool climate red. It's originally from Austria. It's called Blaufränkisch sometimes. It's pepper. You can kind of get into that whole education.
But it's something new. If they see Merlot, they know what they're getting. If they see Pinot Noir, they know what they're getting. But they see something they're not familiar with, and there's a little hesitation.
Yeah, and that's a big thing. I mean, we spend a lot of time with our staff and with everyone involved with that works for us on education, because they are the ones that are going to be the front line to really, you know, you got to find out. Some people like education, some people like fun. You don't have to always have the same interaction with a customer, but we really try and make sure that anyone that comes out to our place comes away with knowing a little bit more about what we do, because we really are proud of making something on site.
Let's talk a little bit about the site. I mean, winemakers talk about terroir and the climate and the property that you have. What effect does that have on the grapes that you can grow and the wines you produce here in the Lehigh Valley?
Yeah, we're a little unique in Pennsylvania. We're a little cooler climate, but very similar to France, Germany, and regions of that. So we really have to look at the varieties that do well for us. So climate is the first one. But we always talk about soil as well. Our soil is very shaley, so that allows a lot of penetration for the roots. So we're a little bit more resistant to droughts and things of that nature. And again, hillside. You talk about hillside a lot. Some of our premium grapes are on a perfect location, southern sloping hill, that gets equal amount of sun in the morning and night. So if you think about that, I know it's hard to get across on a radio, but you get the sun in the east that's getting the one side of the vine, and then in the western side, the late afternoon sun. And it's a really – that's what you talk about. You always see vineyards on hills. Southern sloping hills really allow drainage as well as equal exposure for sun, and we have a great site for that.
It's funny you mentioned the background of your parents, because as I was preparing for this, one of the observations I had that is to be a winemaker, you need to be equal parts farmer and chemist.
Right.
So tell me a little bit more about the balance that between those two that you need to bring to winemaking.
It's an old adage, but it's true. You can't make great wine without great grapes. And so really what we've really tried to hone in on is the winemaking process starts now when we're doing our pruning. We're doing everything to set up what kind of fruit we want to get for this year. And so there's got to be a real close connection between a winemaker and a grape grower, if not that person being the same person. But we're lucky enough to have my father, John's been growing grapes for 40-some years. Malachi Duffy's our winemaker, who's really honed in the back end of the winemaking. And, you know, having grapes on site, it really allows you to control your product as opposed to purchasing someone else's fruit or someone else's juice. And I think that's what, when you go out there and you see something estate bottled, or you see something from a region, like we can put Lehigh Valley on our label, which is because much like Napa and Sonoma, we've registered that the Lehigh Valley is an AVA, viticulture area, that we can put that on the label. And what that tells the consumer is, that was grown and produced here in the Lehigh Valley, and it should mean something. It should have a certain feel to it that you can kind of trust. And the same thing with estate bottled. You have so much more control over the grapes if they don't leave your site, as opposed to purchasing from outside, you know, juice or fruit. So I think that's the big thing, is that, you know, our vineyards are 10 feet away from our tanks and our crushing and everything else. So, I mean, you really have no one to blame but yourself at the end of the day if you don't get everything you can out of there. Obviously, Mother Nature plays a role, but in terms of control, that's what's nice about having your vineyard right on site.
I think there might be some people that might think, good wines only come from France or Spain or Italy or California. How would you counter that in terms of what we're able to produce here in the Lehigh Valley?
I think we have to be realistic. And I think, again, we've been doing this 40 years and we're still figuring out what works for us. And that's, our industry is young. 1968 was the first winery in Pennsylvania. We have over 230 wineries now. So we're still figuring out what we need to grow and what we should probably not try and grow. And I think the biggest thing is kind of coming up with that realization and then not trying to force something that you're not going to be able to really do great every year. We could maybe make a great red wine one every three, four, five years. And I think you have to be realistic about that. We can make great white wines every year. And so once you figure out what wines they are, then you got to plant those grapes. For us, Traminette, Riesling, Pinot Grigio, Chardonnay, Gruner Veltliner, these can be world-class wines. And we've been proving that. Gale and Glenn, great winery in our wine trail, has really made a name for itself with Gruner Veltliner, not just here in Pennsylvania, but starting to get some national recognition. And so once we kind of hone in on what we do best, we can really compete with anyone in terms of not just nationally, but worldwide, once we pick the grapes that I think we can do.
But even like you said, once you pick, it takes 8 to 10 years for those vines to really be established and get their full maturity, if mm-hmm. that's the right word.
Yeah.
And then even at that point, it takes probably a couple of seasons to start really getting in the zone from a winemaking standpoint.
It takes a lot of patience. With the onset now of the craft breweries and the craft distilleries, I'm not going to lie, I'm jealous sometimes that they get to kind of make a batch
every 2 weeks,
every couple weeks. And if it doesn't work out, they can kind of go on to the next one. So now you have to be patient every year with each vintage. We get the question now. I think the consumer is getting spoiled with all the choices out there. They come in the winery all the time asking what's new. And I have to kind of inform them that it doesn't kind of work like that. We get 1 year, we get one shot, and then you. So again, patience is important. But even within that 1 year, you then, like you said, we just planted Gruner Veltliner 2 years ago. So we're not going to see that for another 2 years in our tanks. Another 5 years after that, full production. So it's a patient industry to be in the wine industry. You got to take your time and learn every year. But I think that's great for a consumer because you're always going to see, especially the wineries in here, it's only going to get better, and it has gotten better. And so it's a reason to keep coming back is because we are learning and we're improving every year and we're honing in on what we do best in the Lehigh Valley. And I think that's what's so exciting about being a winery in this region.
Well, Sam, really appreciate your time here and thanks for joining us here on WDIY. I wish you all the continued success with Vinecrest.
Thank you. Thanks for being. Appreciate being here.
And I'm Mike Drabenstadt, and this is The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon.